Good morning, boys and girls. Time for the Area Fishing Report. That's the report about the area, or the reporting of the area about the fishing. Obviously, there's something here, and it has to do with fishing and what's going on in the area. Fish and Frank here in the chair, Robert in the chair across from me, and we are going to go back. Let's see. I'm still playing guitar, so I have an extra couple of seconds here. Catch my breath, figure out what's going on. How about you, Robert?
I'm awake. I already did this for the last 2 hours, so.
Yeah, I listened to part of it.
Yeah. Wasn't too bad?
No, it wasn't bad. The only thing they got wrong, or you guys got wrong on that, was you were trying to decide which was best, lures or bait.
Mm-hmm.
And in my mind, it was the wrong premise. When you're, it's never been an issue of which one is best. It's which one is best to do what. You tried bringing it up, they shot you down. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to work a whole area looking for fish, lures are better. If you're going to fish a specific spot, bait's better. Bait fishes one place much better than a lure does.
Right.
Lures fish an area better than bait does.
There you go.
To me, that would have been the real answer to the question, because neither one's better. They're two completely separate issues.
Yeah. No, and I agree with that, because I even said that at the end with the fish in a canal. If I was going to go fish the canal behind my house, I'm going to use bait. You know, you're stuck, you're kind of stationary, you can't cast around. I just didn't describe it the way you did, but when you're fishing in a limited space, the bait's going to be a lot more productive.
Right. If I'm fishing, you know, a 10-foot spot, a hole along the mangroves where you've got the branches coming out, a little deeper water underneath, kind of a hole on, you know, a trough on the bottom, and there's fish in there, I don't want to throw a lure to it, you know, and bring it back and throw in and bring it back. It's going to end up spooking the fish.
Right.
But if you toss a bait in there, you can probably catch one fish after the other and another and another. It's just the difference. Lures for area, baits for spots. And just works. Unless you're using a bobber, and then you can travel with it, I guess.
But right.
I would still fall to that formula.
Right. I agree with you.
Peace River System, sponsored by PC Solutions of Arcadia. And give them a call if you have problems. They can either log in remotely, or they can come get it, or you can drop it off. Or there's all kinds of stuff to do. And computers are nothing but problems. I think sometimes the computers were put here just to take up time. Just to take up time. Because what used to be, okay, I wrote it down and it was done. And do you know how many invoices we do not get because somebody forgets to hit send?
Yes.
They type up this whole invoice, put it all together, and then they call me up and they're like, you know, well, you haven't paid this invoice. Well, I didn't get it. Well, I made up the invoice. You know, you haven't paid it. Well, I need to get it before I can pay it.
Right.
I said, did you look in your sent file? Is it in there? What do you? I say, check your send file. Check and see what emails you've actually sent. Look for that one.
Okay.
Oops.
It's staggering because I've done it myself. I've got stuff that I'm supposed to send somebody, needs to be there, you know, at that time, and I take all the time to write it up, type it out.
You've done that with an article.
And forgot to send it.
Yeah.
I mean, I had 3 pages I put up a little while ago on the website that I actually built them, did all that, and forgot to upload them. I got them done and saved them. Okay, I'm done. And never got them up to the internet. They were still sitting on my hard drive here and never up to the internet. So anyway, so computers are a complete waste of time. PC Solutions of Arcadia. And the only good thing about the computers, it does allow us to do this stuff. What's going on in Peace River? There's snook.
Starting to get some good reports, actually. I mean, the catching's not as good, but the seeing of a lot more activity up there, I'm hearing, you know, guys are seeing juvenile tarpon, even some bigger, you know, 60-80 pound tarpon rolling around. from the Navigator up. The water's getting clearer, so guys are starting to see some snook sitting on their dock lights at night. Over by the trestle up to the... the Shell Creek Dam. There we go.
Mm-hmm.
Guys have been catching some good snook in there, and even a couple of mangrove snook.
I caught small ones there.
Well, good numbers, but I guess good numbers would be the better.
The guys up from by us were catching small redfish and small snook.
Right.
And
a couple of guys are doing really, really good up there on shiners. I mean, they're all small snook that they're talking about, but they're bending a rod and having a good time.
Well, that's what I did. I took freshwater shiners up there, and Dad and I, and we didn't have any trouble getting some snook, but we didn't get anything over 25 inches.
Right.
And the guys down from us were using shrimp, and they were catching smaller snook and undersized redfish.
There you go.
And they were, where the opening is, they were just to the right. We were on the far right. But it was kind of one of those days. It was just, you know, the wind was blowing 25 miles an hour. And
Sunday was a little sporty.
Yeah.
To say the least.
You know, it was a nice place to go, a nice place to fish, but just kind of brutal in the circumstances. It was safe because we're out of the wind up there. But
right.
At one point, we'd gone up to the dam and we came back, and we were literally sitting there with the boat in reverse trying to hold, because I was throwing the last shiner we had up against the trestle and Dad was running the boat to keep us back. And he was, I mean, having to power up to stay away from the trestle with the wind blowing us at it, the tide and the wind both going in the same direction.
Okay.
I felt like I was in heavy current at Boca Grande Pass trying to stay backwards to, you know, vertical fish.
So wow.
It was interesting.
That's pretty impressive.
Well, there's a lot of wind. I don't think it was impressive.
Well, it's impressive weather-wise.
Yeah.
To do something like that up there that you're used to in Boca Grande, that's saying something.
Having to do it. Okay. So moving down around I-75, the immediate area around there, that's sponsored by Ponger Case Grady Funeral Home and Cremation Services. And they have a full line of all the products that you will need when these times happen. And unfortunately, every single one of us will go through this. It's just the way it is. So finding somebody that you like dealing with when all this stuff comes around, that's the key. So give them a try. What's going on I-75?
Some juvenile tarpon have been there sporadically. I've heard of a couple of black drum, not very many. And then, of course, some juvenile snook. It's not gangbusters, but it's starting to show some life and some activity, which is something we've been waiting several months for.
Yeah. You know,
the river's down quite a bit from what I understand.
It's a little over 4 feet.
That's pretty impressive.
So it's, I just looked it up a little
while ago. I think it dropped over 2 feet since last week when we did it.
Actually, I would have thought so. And that's exactly what I thought when I went to look it up that would have happened. But what was weird is last week it went down to 4.4. On the 28th, and then it went back up for 2 days. It was raising up just a little bit, went up to like 4.8, and each day now it's been losing about 4 inches a day. So it's going down very, very slowly, which is awesome, because no red tide with 4 feet of water in the Peace River.
Right.
I mean, that's 775 cubic feet per second. And average is 600 to 732, it's 600 cubic feet per second is average, so we're a little over average. But 2006 there was 3,210 cubic feet a second coming down.
Wow.
In 2006, I can't remember what storms were going by then. It could have been Ivan and
I don't remember. Those couple years after the hurricane were definitely way big of a blur. Hey, you were working 7 days a week, out of town most of the time, and rebuilt, just I think about that time you were about probably 25% of the way into building your house. You know, 'cause that was two years after Charlie.
Yeah, because No, we actually started building and moved in 2007. In 2006, I was doing work, but we were no closer to getting in anything else. Right. It's going to take us down to the 41 Bridge, SOS Marine, sponsoring this spot. That's Jerry. When you call out there, you're going to talk to Amy. And they called me. My boat's done. They fixed the trim and tilt on it. They got the tire and the trailer thing fixed. And so now I can sell that one.
There you go.
So isn't it? Why is it when you go to sell something, you got to put so much money in to try and get any money back out of it? You know.
Yep.
I. You know, people go to sell their house, so they stick $5,000 into the repairs in the house that they just never bothered to do while they live there. But in order to get an extra $5,000 of it, they put $5,000 into it.
Yeah. It's kind of funny how that works.
You know, I think I should have just sold it the way it was. But, you know, Jerry's not that expensive, so it's pretty cool. So anyway, SOS Marine, 41 Bridge. I got nothing. I haven't been involved. What do you got?
A lot of small snook, both from boat and from shore. A couple of trout have started to move in around the power lines here and there. There's no numbers and no quality fish, but I'm hearing guys are catching a few, so that's pretty good. Some small redfish and some small black drum. And then guys are seeing some juvenile tarpon around it, but you know, once again, it's kind of like 75. It's starting to see some good life and some good activity going on. It's just a little bit of a slow building process. You know, the water is super, super cleared up, and since that cold front came through, it killed off some of that surface algae and stuff like that, and top of the river starting to slow down a little bit. It's pretty impressive how much that water cleared up in a week's time. I was surprised to walk behind the house and actually see the bottom off the end of my dock. I went, "Ooh, that's kind of strange."
Yeah, wow, what's that?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I did the same thing on my canal. I can't quite see the bottom yet, but down on the boat ramp, I can see in about 2.5 feet.
Yeah, yeah, which is about how deep it is off the end of my dock, so that's about what I had.
So I can still see the big tree that's all the way across our canal.
Yeah, it's hard to miss that.
Yeah. I got to start chumming that up. That'd be a great snook habitat.
Yeah, it would be.
Yeah, I've actually got to trim some of that because I want to move that stupid float on boat dock around and see if I can't actually make it work. That was a mistake to buy one of those floating drive on boat dock things. It's sounds like a great idea. Not so much, boys and girls. So another one for me being smart. Not so much, boys and girls. Lashley Pier, what's going on?
Same as 41 Bridge, pretty much. It's some small snook, a couple of small trout. Guys have seen a couple of black drum swimming by. And then a couple guys have seen some juvenile tarpon at first light in the morning down closer to the marina basin itself. But overall, not super great, just building and getting better. You know, I haven't heard of those keeper fish. Those guys have been fishing the seawall pretty regularly, but I haven't seen them at all this week to know if they did any good or not.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on down there. Know much about anything. Bayshore Pier, sponsored by Centennial Bank. It is our bank of choice. Amazing people, and people make all the difference.
Totally amazing people.
Yeah, we've just, it's so easy because you go in there, and I walked in, I said, well, I need an account because I've got internet stuff coming in. I need it separate from my other accounts and all that. Oh, is that all you need? Yeah. Oh, I'll call you when it's done.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, how much better do you want to get? Oh, that's all you need. Oh, okay, I'll call you when it's done.
Yeah, and they get it done promptly.
Oh, yeah, no.
You don't get a call in a month from now. Yeah, we finally got it done.
No, it was later that day or early in the next day, I don't remember. But Bayshore Pier is Centennial Bank sponsoring. Hopefully good news.
Yeah, I've actually heard of 2 cobia that were caught off of there. Both of them were undersized, but they caught 2 cobia off of it. Harry, who lives over there, walks those piers and has a dock of his own. He's been seeing some snook going by, but hasn't been catching any of them. And then there's been some guys seeing quite a few juvenile tarpon. Another kayaker, again, was out there fly fishing, trying to catch a couple of them. He said he saw enough, but just couldn't get any to commit. So, there again, the activity's starting to get a little better, just not super great yet.
All right. Port Charlotte Canal, sponsored by Ray Smith Excavating. And whether you're doing a project around the house like me, I'm going to be calling Ray to get a truckload of fill because all my sidewalks collapsed and I got seawall problems. Ray will be bringing that out and I'll be shoveling it in. But you something like that, or if you need a you know, a housing development, you know, all the site work for a housing development, give Ray Smith a call. Port Charlotte Canals, what's Ray sponsoring?
A lot of little jacks moving through there right now. Snook are starting to move back in a little bit better numbers. They're still small, but hearing of a lot of guys catching snook both trolling in and out of the canals and just sight not sight casting, but just casting up underneath the docks. There has been a couple of black drum over in the West Spring Lake by the boat ramp. Some guys have been seeing some big black drum just gliding along the surface. And the juvenile tarpon, of course, are kind of peppered everywhere through there in the East Spring Lake and West Spring Lake area. So it's not bad. I haven't caught any snapper back there lately. I've been playing with some frozen shrimp behind the house a little bit, seeing if any bottom activity is getting better, but it's still catfish for me.
Yeah, I'm gonna try and please don't do that. Talking to my computer, begging it not to delete whole paragraphs at a time. All right, I'm gonna go out Sunday and try and figure out. I need pictures of redfish. I gotta find some place to catch some redfish. And Action Appliance sponsoring the Elgerbean Pier. What's going on at the Elgerbean Pier?
Night fishing has been getting a little bit better for a few more legal sized snook. And also a couple guys have caught some, you know, 20, 22 inch trout while fishing for snook out there the last couple nights. Whole lot of little snook too in between. The daytime fishing has been very quiet. I have not heard of anything except for a couple guys still fishing those juvenile tarpon right at first light for the first couple hours around the bridge itself. Other than that, nothing really to write home about. They all said the same thing, that the water's clearing up pretty good over there too. So that's
all
good.
Right. The Myakka River area, Cattle Dock Point, Tippy Canoe Bay, the 14-foot-0, Elgerbean, Myakka Cutoff. This is sponsored by my buddy Jim up at Murdoch Tire and Auto Center. And give him a call if something goes wrong with your truck. I just got mine back from up there. That stupid Toyota threw the water pump out of itself. I thought I trashed the motor and everything. Even Jim, he sent down his tow truck for it because it wasn't moving another foot. And he says, well, we'll see. Next day, it had a new water pump in it, and it sounds pretty good again. I was like,
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was, you know, he said, a miracle has happened in Murdoch.
Nice.
You know, a miracle happened in Murdoch. I didn't blow the motor out of that truck. All right, so what's Jim sponsoring?
That's actually starting to pick up pretty well. Both Tippy Canoe, the north end of the Myakka Cutoff, and right at the entrance of Cattle Dock Point, we've gotten a couple reports of some redfish. The guy went out 2 days in a row and did catch a couple of redfish at each spot that were on the low end of the slot, like 18 to 21 inches.
That's where I'm going to head up there. That's why I'm going to go back to the cutoff. I've been bouncing all over the harbor and just getting humbled and lessons in humility.
Yeah.
In other words, I've been humiliated every time I've gone out fishing. So I'm going back to the cutoff and the Myakka River and see what I can do up there.
Go back to some of your roots.
Yeah, some of the spots, you know. But then again, a lot of it's, you know, it doesn't really matter what you know, but if you don't do it in a while, you know, it.
Yeah.
We just had, you know, with me being sick so long and not being able to go on the water and not even be able to really, you know, function beyond minimal levels, now to get back out there and I'm like, geez, it's starting all over again. So yeah. When you guys are out there, you're seeing me getting all the stuff that happens to the beginner fisherman again. And it's just maddening, you know, because when you're at a level and you're you really have everything kind of down to a science, and then all of a sudden you get out and things have changed, and now I'm starting back over again. So I expect fishing is teaching me humility. So all right, Gulf Cove Canals.
I actually got a really good report from a gentleman that I got talking with over at Circle K. And they're fishing from shore. He moved to a couple of the empty lots and over by that boat ramp there, and they were catching legal-sized redfish. They got legal-sized redfish. They both hooked one little snook apiece, and then they were also catching the Mayan cichlids and a couple of tilapia. But he said it was a really, really nice day. And then they went back out the next day. They caught a couple smaller undersized redfish and a couple small undersized snook, but they still had a really good time. So that's always kind of cool to hear, especially, you know, we hear so little reports of land-based fishermen catching redfish.
What he was using?
He was using shrimp. He was just using shrimp. He thought about taking some shiners, but I didn't see him if he came back in the next day or not.
I don't know. They might work pretty good up there. All right. Going down the west wall, sponsored by our friends at Luigi's. I think we're going to be there, this Tuesday and Wednesday?
Tuesday, no. Wednesday, and Thursday.
Right. Tuesday and Wednesday are booked up. They're solid. If you want to call last minute and see if there's any, because some people call and cancel out the last minute, so there could possibly be a seat there. But we did add Thursday, right? Yep. Is that booked yet?
I didn't look at it today yet. It had a dozen people on it yesterday.
So if you want to get in the seminar, this is going to be where we've caught different fish and how we've caught them. Let's see. So what's going on the West Wall? Luigi sponsoring West Wall, Blowdown Creek, Muddy Bay, Oyster Bay, Trout Creek.
Well, the wind finally laid down enough this past week, so a couple of guys have been fishing that since the east side has been getting so much pressure with that east wind.
Well, the east side was safe. The west side was under fire.
Right, know? Exactly.
It's like being, you know, okay, do you want to get your butt kicked or do you want to stay safe?
Right, exactly. Along the bushes, the snook and the redfish, there's a lot of snook. I was talking to Carl yesterday and he just reinforced what another customer had said 2 days ago. Snook are moving up and down the entire shoreline. Everywhere you go, you're seeing one to a few snook kind of just cruising along. So they're slowly working their way up into the harbor and into the rivers. Few redfish being spotted both under the bushes, being caught, I should say, under the bushes and out on the flat itself. And then there has been quite a few pompano that are being skipped as guys are running down the outside edge of the trough, you know, leading up to the flat there. So keep your eyes open for the pompano because there have been good numbers of them being seen. Just half the guys aren't ready for them or aren't paying attention. It's other boaters that are behind them watching them skip pompano as they drive by. Always cracks me up because you taught me always look behind you just for safety purposes, but also for looking for pompano. You know, and it's amazing watching boats go by and then watch them spook up pompano or push a small school of redfish, and they had no clue that it happened because they just keep going by at 30 miles an hour, 40 miles an hour. You're like, oh, look at that. There's an opportunity for me. Thank you.
Yeah. And you didn't, like, wave them down and say, hey, guys, you know, there's a bunch of fish back here.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you got two people on the boat, one looks behind the boat and the other one looks in front of the boat. That's how you do it to catch fish. If you're just going boat riding, no need. But if you're actually going out fishing, one looks forward, the other looks back, and you both look side to side a bit. All right, Cape Hayes. Here there's a lot of flounder there.
Yeah, the flounder have still been there, pretty decent numbers. And then they've also been getting a few pompano also in addition to those. And then on the Boca Grande side of Cape Hayes, right where it drops off, guys have been catching a couple of Spanish mackerel trolling along there, along with a couple of small snook. They're seeing bonnethead sharks moving around on the flat there, and still a few incidental trout, and the numbers seem to be picking up depending on which guy you talk to. They all say they're still pretty small, but they're at least bending the rod and having a good time.
Okay. All right, that's going to take us down to Bull Bay and Turtle Bay. This is sponsored by Penn. pen reels. And here's something that we're going to tell you. We will Amazon price match your pen reel purchase here at Fish and Frank's. So if you come in and you want the warranty and the help and everything else that, you know, we try to do as well as we can for everybody. You know, nobody's perfect, but we do it as the best we can. And you want to buy a pen reel and have all that plus Amazon pricing, just come here and we will help you with that. We can we will go on the internet while you're here in the store. It doesn't matter what price you saw last night. It matters what the price is when you walk in, because those prices go up and down like crazy. So right. When you come in, we will go on the internet. We'll check Amazon. You get that price, whatever it is. And so, Bull Bay and Turtle Bay, the price match guarantee pen reels. What do you got for them?
Getting to be a little bit of a mix out there. It's starting to light up too. Redfish are starting to mill around a little bit more. The snook are definitely moving in there in much, much greater numbers. With the guys are seeing some big snook cruising, but obviously they didn't get big being dumb, so they're not catching them, but they're seeing them. There's been a handful of juvenile or baby bull sharks cruising around inside there that guys are saying they're seeing. And then the trout has gotten better drifting through the center part of Turtle Bay and also drifting through the main center part of Bull Bay. Along with in Bull Bay, they've also been getting some of the very loose ladyfish. A guy caught two baby bluefish mixed in with those ladyfish and trout, so kind of a mixed bag. A couple guys are seeing some sheep's head moving around inside Bull Bay, around the shacks there, and even a couple along the flats. But
no, what were they seeing?
Sheep's head.
Ah,
no numbers yet, but they are seeing a few definitely moving around of some size. You know, rather than those typical 6-8 inches, they're actually seeing some bigger ones.
Yeah, I'm hard of hearing, so that kind of gets in with that.
No problem.
All right, well, I guess let's move on down to Cape Hayes Reef. And this is sponsored by Chuck's Custom Carpentry. And Chuck's been out the house the last few days. I've got issues with stairs. He's helped me rebuild a lot of this stuff. And it was funny because I have a hot water heater on the back of the house, you know, and it's got its own little door.
Like a little closet door.
Right, but this thing, they left like vinyl siding at the top, and you're supposed to lift this thing up and like put a stick under it to get in and out of there. It was ridiculous.
I never realized that. I thought it was an actual door.
No,
it's like a swing up garage door kind of thing.
Yeah, but it just goes straight out, and it's heavier than heck because they decided they needed it insulated. I don't know why the hot water heater needed to be insulated room, but so it was impossible to get into, and you force your way in and hit the reset button, you know, when, you know, you have power outs or something, you know. And
right.
It was just a real pain. So I asked Chuck, because we were doing all these different repairs around the house because of the hurricane. And I said, can you just put a regular door on that? And the problem is the opening is framed out, but the siding was back because of this folding door they had. So trying not to replace the siding on the whole house. He looked at me at one point and he was so frustrated. I mean, it's beautiful now. I mean, it looks exactly like the other openings. The contractor had messed up all the trim around the windows. They said they came back and took off when we were getting the house put up, took off the vinyl J-channel siding next to the windows and put like 1x2 fairing strips and nailed hardy board around it and painted it. And it looked nice, but it left everything open to the weather, and you could literally see the ends of the siding. And it was a nightmare. And it was going to rot the wood out behind, you know, behind there, and everything was going to. So I had Chuck replace all that. And I can do basic carpentry, but this is, I mean, has to be perfect. You know, everything has to be cut exactly so it looks nice. And that's something I got to have Chuck do. I can do, you know, rough carpentry, you know. But so anyway, at one point he looks at me, he says, you know, trying to get that door to actually open and close, and then he's very conscious, he doesn't want any water getting into the room because mm-hmm. it's drywall and all that. It's like an interior part of the house. And he's looking at me, he said, the pirate ship was easier.
Wow.
I mean, he was so frustrated with that door. But he got it. It looks I mean, it's gorgeous. I mean, Terry, what? Wow, she was so impressed with, you know, what he ended up doing. But he was literally, if you
he is such a perfectionist too.
You can see the picture of the pirate ship that he. We would sit there, and he said, "Okay, we'll do this and this." And it was never even supposed to be a pirate ship, and then all of a sudden, it was a pirate ship. So, and he said that was much easier than that darn door on the hot water heater room.
Oh, that's funny.
If you know my house, you kind of get an understanding of nothing ever works quite right. But the Cape Hayes Reef. Any reports for Chuck's Custom Carpentry?
Actually, a couple of Spanish mackerel. I saw one cobia swim up to his boat while he was anchored out there. And then he also caught a couple of small mangrove snapper. You know, so it's another one of those spots that's starting to pick up since it's been kind of vacant for so long.
All right.
And he said the water's getting super clear there. He couldn't see the shadows of the reef, but he could actually see down several feet and felt pretty good about it.
Cool. I just added to when I was typing out the report for this, you know, should be getting better by the day because that's the truth. All right, now We're going around to Gasparilla Sound, the Tailing Flats, kind of taking you from Devilfish Key up to Catfish Creek by Placida.
I did forget something. I'm sorry.
What's that?
From Devilfish to Turtle Bay, basically all out in front there.
Right.
A lot of pompano and flounder.
All right, so I should go back and add that to the Bull Bay, Turtle Bay thing?
Yeah, probably.
All right.
Just all out in front there. There, guys have been doing good on them, several guys.
Flounder out in...
It's at least worth mentioning because I forgot that we would jump from Devilfish.
Is there any water depth that you're looking at?
No, they're just finding them kind of scattered all along there. Nobody was specific with actual depth.
Mm-hmm.
With that weird washboard bottom, I would assume that it just depends on the tide.
I guess so, yeah. All right, so anyway, that's going to take us back to Gasparilla Flats, and I'm going to put pompano and flounder because that's part of this area.
Yep.
And this is sponsored by Radio Waterline, Saturday mornings from 7 to 9 on 92.9 Kix Country. And Robert is the host, Mike Myers is a host, and Josh Olive is a host. So... if you click the if you're on the fishing report page and click that, you can listen to their back episodes on there. And what's going on in Gasparilla Sound and Tailing Flats?
A lot of different stuff. Actually, it's starting to really pick up there. The they've been seeing some redfish, some snook, a lot of trout starting to move in throughout that whole area. The bait has been weird there, so guys said it's depends on the bait activity with how those fish are acting. As you get in closer towards the Wooden Creek sandfly, the clam fields, that area, that seems to be a little bit more productive for the snook, the redfish, and the trout. And then a couple guys even got into some Spanish mackerel as they drifted out of there, getting closer to the ICW. So it's starting to get a little bit more livelier down there. A lot of guys are seeing the bottom there now and talking about some of the sand patches have gotten bigger since they remembered seeing it. So, like, maybe the storm surge or lack thereof did some damage out there because they're recognizing some different...
I don't know about damage, but I still maintain when you have floodwaters in every river, 10 feet more water than is supposed to be in every creek and river and everything else... And then that hurricane came and blew 6 feet of water out of the harbor.
Mm-hmm.
That was the biggest volume of water movement we have ever had in Charlotte Harbor.
Yeah.
That there's never been an event quite like that. And it's the first one to actually change bottom features in the harbor and in the Gulf. This is the first time because a lot of the stuff in Charlotte Harbor... They hadn't changed the map since the early 1900s and 1950s, and everything was still valid. And Irma coming through with all that 3 feet of water, rainwater we had the couple of days before, and then that wind blowing all the water out of here, that was the most significant movement of water I could ever imagine.
Oh, yeah, and I can't even.
That's why everything's changed. But it had been more than 100 years since that had ever happened here. Donna didn't do it. Charlie didn't do it. Ivan, Katrina, Rita, none of those storms had done this. This was the one that did it. The most significant change to Charlotte Harbor by Irma.
Right.
So, anyway, we're going to be moving on to the Placida Pier, Placida Trestle, Coral Creek Pier. This is sponsored by Engman Marine, and Engman has a boat dealership right there in Placida, so that was kind of a natural fit. They've got one in Port Charlotte, Sarasota, Pine Island, North Fort Myers, and their North Fort Myers. We lease the inside of that building, and we have a tackle store down there in their North Fort Myers store. They've got a bunch of different types of boats. They've got a Grady White thing. I think it's the 16th through the 19th at Fisherman's Village, where you can get on and go out and test drive one of the boats, where there'll actually be boats in the water there at Fisherman's Village, take you out for a test drive and bring you back. So that's something going on 16th through the 19th of this month, just in another week or so. All right, what's going on at Placida Pier?
That's starting to get some pretty good reports. A lot of guys are fishing around the trestles from their boats. They're starting to pick up some better mangrove snapper, handful of snook, even a couple pompano and flounder have been being caught both from the piers and around the piers. But here's the weirdest one of them all, because we're going on 2 weeks now of me hearing incidental reports. Baby barracuda.
Are they sennets or barracuda?
They're barracuda. I've seen pictures. My uncle and his son went out last week. My uncle got six of them, showed me the pictures of them. Every customer that's been coming in has shown me pictures of them, and they're 14 to 18 inches, and every one of them have been barracuda that I've seen a photograph of, which is really kind of neat and bizarre all at the same time, because we are used to seeing the sennets or hearing of the sennets out there, and you only very infrequently as it turned into be an actual barracuda, and guys are catching a lot of them, so that's kind of neat and exciting, you know. And then those little guys, all barracuda jump pretty good, but those little guys jump really well. So a handful of guys said, well, I thought they were ladyfish at first, but then I finally landed one and sure enough it was a barracuda. So something a little out of the ordinary for down there, because I've never heard of numbers like that. You always hear,
where are they catching them on?
They've been catching them on shrimp. They've been catching them on like twitch sticks, you know, little hard swim baits. I mean, kind of a variety of things. Just really, I mean, unusual. I mean, I've been here for 20 years and I've never heard of numbers like this, especially in the last 2 weeks. Talking to Josh about it, he said he started getting his first couple reports out there about a month ago, and each picture he got sent to him, it turned out to be a little baby barracuda also. So, kind of interesting.
Okay.
A little change in the dynamics out there.
Yeah, that's very cool. Right.
And they're pretty when they're that small. The black spots are so pronounced, and all their little tiny teeth will take your fingertip right off.
Up by Lemon Bay is sponsored by Southern Cross Shutter Systems. They do accordions, roll downs, panels, whatever you need, and they actually manufacture them themselves. So they build them, and they're the manufacturer, the wholesaler, the retailer, all in-house, one setup, and they
and the installer.
So yeah,
one stop shop.
Is storm spelled S-T-O-R-M?
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that looks weird. Like Strom.
Yeah.
S-T-R-O-M.
No. S-T-O-R-M.
All right, it just looks bad. I typed it on there because I build all these little panels for the links that go back and forth. But anyway, what is Southern Cross Shutter Systems Incorporated doing?
Redfish are starting to actually pick up there from basically Placida boat ramp all the way up into North Lemon Bay. Starting to get some mixed reports of a lot of singles and doubles of redfish under the boat docks at the mouths of the canals. What is it? Buck Creek? Is that right?
Could be.
I think it's Buck Creek. A gentleman was talking about it the other day. He was fishing right at the mouth of it, and he caught a half a dozen redfish. All of them were in the slot, even one that was way up on the high end. He said he let it go because it was too close for him to want to mess with. And then he also got into quite a few snook, one legal snook that was just barely legal, but he said it was kind of anorexic, so he let that one go too. And then I'm hearing of some mangrove snapper and some flounders starting to show up underneath the docks and even out in some of those sand holes out on the open flats. So it's definitely starting to turn on up there. It was real cloudy at the beginning of this week because of all the storm activity last weekend that you were fighting the wind with. That the inside of the intercoastal there was pretty clouded up, but the fish were still doing pretty well.
Okay, let's go to the pier there, the Anger Pier. That was a horrible sound I just made. I should have said Anger Pier. I'm angry, not anger. All right, but anyway, however you say Anger Pier, it's in Englewood next to the Tom Adams Bridge there on Beach Road. Custom Sight and Sound out of Venice is sponsoring this spot, and they do home theaters, all kinds of home entertainment stuff, TVs, whatever, you know, however you decide to want to do something, they can help you with designs, and they pretty much help you with everything. Nice folks. Very good friend of mine. This is the Anger Pier Report.
To be honest with you, he gets the entire report because I have not heard one report there this week.
So, we don't know.
We don't know.
Okay, question marks. All right. Now, going out to the Gulf of Mexico, and this is sponsored by American Fishing Wire, High Seas, AFW, Toothproof Steel, all their cool products, which are actually awesome. Some of the best dollar value products in the world is AFW and High Seas. Great dollar value, great products. It's hard to go wrong with them. And the Gulf temp in St. Pete's like less than 72, yeah, like 71 something, and then down by Naples it's almost 73.
Almost 70, I think, just
no,
over 70.
I just looked.
Was it?
I just looked this morning. It was 73 something.
Okay.
So, or no, it was 72 something, almost 73.
Okay.
So this is like the perfect king mackerel temperature. 68 to 72 is when the king mackerel show up. That's what they ideally like the most anyway.
Right, except for the last couple of years, they've been showing up a little earlier than that for some reason, which we talked about, I think, last year, trying to figure that out because it's strange.
I think it's the problem is the weather in the panhandle down to Naples has been so similar.
Right.
Years ago, now this year is changing it, and it's kind of going back where they're getting almost frost warnings in the panhandle, but it's just chillied by us.
Right.
But for the last few years, the problem the fish have had is for most of the time I've been working here over 30-some years, the Gulf temp would be 6 to 10 degrees lower up in the northern part of the Gulf than it would be down by us.
Yep.
So the fish would go up as the water got hot and come down as the water got cold. And now they range up and down the coast because
there's almost no difference. Yeah.
Yeah, there's 1 or 2 degrees difference. It's not significant enough to make them move.
Right.
So they could stay here all year or they could go up there. They just kind of go wherever. You know, I think they're more looking for food because there is no temperature to go to.
So that makes sense.
This year, I think we've seen all these kings here. Are the kings still there? Are you getting any reports?
Yeah, getting a lot of reports still, basically from quarter of a mile off the beach all the way out to 20 miles. They're either seeing kings free jumping, skyrocketing, however you want to look at it, and or catching them. So a lot of guys are trolling the depth specific lures and kind of covering all areas of the water column from, like, say, a Rapala 25 or 30, and then doing, like, say, a bomber that's going to, you know, the big 16 bomber, it's going to go down about 6 feet or so. And then they're trolling either a big spoon or a cedar plug to keep it up closer to the surface to try to cover all areas of it. A couple guys are trolling smaller stuff in addition to those because they are catching quite a few Spanish mackerel and a lot of jacks from the 2 to 6 pound range mixed in out there too while they're fishing. The bottom fishing has been okay. mainly mangrove snapper and some lane snapper. Guys aren't seeing clearer water until they're getting out to about 17 miles right now. As of Wednesday was the last offshore guy that came in Wednesday afternoon, and he said it was pretty cloudy up until there, and he went out of
how far out?
17 miles, and he went out of a stump pass before, you know, and that's where he started running to cleaner water. Weird part was, is like Josh was out there either yesterday or day before on some clients' boats, on their boat, showing them some stuff, and they saw flying fish at a mile and a half to 2 miles out multiple times, not just one, but several different moments they saw flying fish, which is, to me, I'm not used to seeing flying fish in that close this time of year. You know, in February through April, absolutely, you hear about it semi-regularly, but late summer when there's so much fresh water still coming out of some of these canals and passes,
kind I think of a it's a combination of the water temperature and the fresh water slowed way down.
Right.
Really slowed down. The Peace River is kind of the exception. When I check some of the other ones, they're pretty much at normal levels for the time of year.
Right.
So normal or a little less. The Peace River is kind of still the exception to the rule. Coosahatchee is still dumping like crazy, but yeah, they're going to be doing that for a while. And yeah, I don't understand why we're going into a time of no rain. Close it off, let it fill all the way up, and let it evaporate out the way it's supposed to.
Right. Mm-hmm. Nope. Farmers got to get their way. Sugarcane guys, they want it all out.
I don't get any of it.
Nope.
Okay. Anyway, moving on to the passes. This is sponsored by, loosely call it sponsorship, this is an advertisement for our new show on 97.5 FM, WKDW, KDWradio.com. It's Real Community Radio. It's a non-profit thing, and I think what I like the best about this radio station is you have no idea what you're going to hear when you click onto it.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah, no neat idea. There'll be
music,
talk shows,
talk,
but it could be anything from jazz to classical to country to old rock to whatever. It is the broadest spectrum. Literally check every half hour to see if you like it, because it stays pretty consistent. But each half hour during this day is different. And there's some different shows like our show on 1 to 2 o'clock on Thursdays. And if you go to kdwradio.com, click the Listen Now button, you can hear it anywhere in the world. Just click the icon on the fishing page. It'll take you right to it. But we've been having a lot of fun doing that. And they are, you know, quasi-sponsoring, but it's basically an ad for that radio station and our program. The passes, so Redfish, Captiva, Boca Grande, Little Gasparilla, Stump, Venice, what's going on in which one would you, what's going on in Venice, by the way?
Venice is starting to pick up a little bit. I'm hearing of some Spanish mackerel. Some kings have been just outside of the pass. The mangrove snapper and the snook activity has started to pick up a little bit more there. That's really about all I've heard of, unfortunately, there, but it's better than what I've been hearing, so it is starting to get busier with a lot of the snowbirds are starting to show up and starting to kind of take over the jetty, so.
All right. What about Stump Pass? We heard anything there?
Stump Pass has been quiet other than a few small drags.
Little Gasparilla Pass?
That's been a little quiet, too, except for a few Spanish mackerel moving through there.
Okay.
Boca Grande and Captiva and even Redfish Pass have been probably the most active. If I was
going
to go,
what's going on down in Redfish?
If you can mirror image all three of them, to be honest with you. The mangrove snapper started to move back into all of them pretty good. Hearing of some fish up to like 14, 15 inches. Redfish and snook and pompano and flounder have been cruising the perimeters of the beaches in that shallower, you know, more sandy edges. The pompano and the flounder have been in anywhere from 15 to 25 feet of water, both on Boca and Captiva. Just got to find that sandy washboard bottom. And then king mackerel, Spanish mackerel, and tarpon have all been being caught in both places. I haven't heard much about tarpon down in
king
Redfish.
Mackerel?
Yep. But all three passes have been producing the kings and the Spanish. just haven't heard of tarpon down in Redfish, but Captiva Pass and Boca have got quite a few actual fishable numbers of tarpon in them right now. Just everyone else is targeting the other species, so they're only hooking a tarpon as accidental bycatch. The colonel the other day went down to Captiva, and his wife hooked about 150-pounder while they were trolling through there looking for king mackerel and gag grouper. And then I've had several other people that have hooked tarpon in both those. You know, so it's... That would be my personal choice if I was going to go fishing over the next couple days.
Okay. All right. I'm just doing a little spell checking here as I'm going along because I keep hitting all the wrong ones. There was a lot to type there. All right. Walking the beaches. What's going on? If you're going to stand on the beach and and cast out into the Gulf of Mexico, what would you be likely to catch?
Unfortunately, the only place I've heard of two reports this week was Boca Grande. Boca Grande, both on the main beach and in the pass itself. Some snook, a couple of redfish, some Spanish mackerel moved in close, chasing some bait along with some jacks, some blue runners. And then guys are still picking up a couple of flounder and pompano. But I just haven't heard much. You know, I figured I'd hear something about Stump Pass because I've got a couple of people fish that regularly and never heard from them as far as the beach goes.
Okay. Right. And that's going to take us down to Ponarasis, Sanibel Island, and the Southwest Florida Boat Show. This is going on the 16th through the 19th. We will be down there. Fishing seminars all day long, all 4 days, every hour on the hour pretty much. We got snook seminars, redfish. We've got seminars on lures, seminars on everything. It's a big, big show. If you're looking for a boat or thinking about getting a boat, there's a lot of little boat shows around, but there's only one big Mac Daddy, Granddaddy with everybody and everything there. It is a monster show. I think it takes more than an hour to walk end to end on it. I would say close to an hour anyway.
Without stopping? Yeah.
Yeah. It's
lot. It's huge compared. I mean, last year was pretty darn big, but this year is even bigger.
Yeah, it's amazing because if you're looking for a big boat like to go cruising with, a yacht type thing, or a little dinghy or a flats boat or an offshore boat or whatever, there is something there. Pontoons, you name it. Every kind of boat is there pretty much.
Yeah.
So it's the one you really want to attend. What's going on, Ponarasis, Sanibel?
To be honest with you, I haven't heard a single report down there.
Okay, moving on. And that's going to take us to the Coosatchee River. And I doubt if we ever... You got any reports for it?
Nothing.
Okay, just a general reminder with that ad that we do have a store in the Ingman Marine Boat Dealership about 3 blocks south of Pine Island Road on North Cleveland Avenue. We're about a mile north of the bridge going across the Coosatchee there on Cleveland. And we've got a full tackle store there. And it's very, very nice. It's sort of like a boutique, but with the heart and soul of a real tackle shop. So
yeah, that's a good way to put that. I like that.
Yeah, Vinny came up with that.
That's actually really pretty darn good.
Kind of sort of like a boutique, but with the heart and soul of a real tackle store. So,
yeah,
like Vinny came up with that. So he's pretty awesome.
Yeah, he is.
All right, Matt Lachey, and what's going on, Matt Lachey? A lot of redfish, I hear.
Redfish, flounder, and pompano from Matt Lachey north up to Smokehouse. The water's the darkest down there, though. The shrimper was telling me it's still pretty dark, and then Carl was telling me it was really dark water down there compared to everything else I'm hearing of clearing up. That's the one area that hasn't been clearing up but still has some pretty darn good fish activity.
Well, that one doesn't clear up very quick because of the Coosatchee.
Yeah.
You get a lot of Coosatchee influence there because when the water comes out of the Coosatchee, part of it goes north up towards Matt Lachey. The other part tries to dump out there at Ponarasa and Sanibel. So it gets more, it stays browner the longest of any of the areas throughout the harbor because of that.
Which makes sense. You know, I just never thought about it, but that definitely makes sense.
Yeah, whether it's incoming or outgoing tide, that water keeps getting pushed up in there. Incoming tide it takes the water from Ponderosa and stuff and tries to shove it up in there, you know, the water that was going out, and it takes a long, long, long incoming tide to actually push that all the way through the north end over the top of Pine Island so it can be flushed out.
That makes sense.
Really weird. I've been trying to track a lot more of this. So anyway, anything else going on there in Matlacha area?
Oh, well, that's about it that I've heard of.
Pine Island Sound, sponsored by Reaper Rods. And they're all made right here in Punta Gorda. And Tim is the owner, and he still is involved. He actually builds rods along with him and some of his friends and a couple other people. But they're hand-splined. They're really... It's good rods. Like I say, the worst complaint is if you buy one, you usually buy a second one.
Right.
That's the biggest complaint I've heard about Reaper rods. So anyway, Pine Island Sound.
Pine Island's doing actually pretty good. You know, the snook are moving off the beaches and through the passes, so a lot of those little islands throughout the whole sound are starting to load up with snook. Redfish are still scattered pretty good through there. There's even been a couple of schools, but... they've been getting beat up pretty bad by the dolphin, so they aren't staying in one spot over there. You're having to hunt and find them. Getting some reports of some trout out in some of the deeper sand holes, especially as you get closer to the ICW, along with a few Spanish mackerel and a couple of small bluefish. Have heard of a couple of small sharks, both bull sharks and black tips. And then guys are also seeing some bonnet heads cruising around on the flats a little bit more. So, it's been good, but there's no one particular area that seems to stand out more than the other from what I've been hearing from several different people. The water is clearing up. You know, it's still a little on the cloudy side, but it is definitely clearing up down there, which is pretty good.
Yeah. All right. Jug Creek Shoals, Boquilla, sponsored by JT Custom Pools. And that's 941-423-9696. Call Jason Torrey if you have maintenance for your pools or you need a pool. I would love to have a pool, but Terry wants it behind the house, kind of where, right behind our, where the stairs are in the little porch.
Uh-huh.
She's thinking about putting it there. Now, me, I would rather have it over by the pirate ship.
Yeah.
I would like to have the pool over by the pirate ship, so you could like maybe jump off the front of the pirate ship into it. You know, put a diving board off the pirate ship. Make people walk the plank, get them drunk, and say, "Oh, you're gonna walk the plank." That would be fun.
Would be.
So yeah, I'm a little demented. So you know,
nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I don't have the money for a pool right now. Anyway, so
I can't afford a pool, and the one that I would want, I definitely can't afford.
What would you want?
I'd want a Vanishing Edge. An infinity pool.
No, so it kind of looks like the pool goes right into the canal.
Yep.
I don't know if your house is high enough for that.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I guess if you were in the pool, yeah. You would look out and it would just...
Exactly.
Well, you got to put your hot tub down below it, you know, just have a step down to a little hot tub. And
right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would love... That would be the one that I would
it's
love
It's wonderful
to
pipe dream, but yes, neither one of us got the money for it, so...
Right. And I don't swim enough to really, truly appreciate it. You know, it's just... Yeah.
I had a lot of medals when I was in high school for swimming.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if I wasn't such a obnoxious young man... I wasn't really obnoxious. I just didn't like the rules, so...
Really? Imagine that.
Yeah. Me not liking the rules... So,
hence the reason why you're your own boss.
Yeah, if I would have been able to abide by more of their rules and stuff, I think I would have gone on pretty far. I don't know if I would have been Olympic, but I think I could have made the nationals anyway.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, I always loved this one.
Nice.
But let's say another weird little historical nothing. All right, Jug Creek Shoals. What's going on?
Jug Creek Shoals, anywhere right there in the immediate vicinity from Jug Creek over to Patricio. There's been some good reports of some snook and some redfish activity. As you move out a little bit farther off the flat from Jug Creek, I've been hearing of some better numbers of trout. Only a handful of those trout have been bigger, but the guys that have been catching them on big pinfish. So, you know, the bigger pinfish, or not big pinfish, but like 3-inch pinfish have been picking up those bigger trout.
Okay.
Oh.
All right. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's think about moving on. We're going to go over to Burnt Store Two Pines, and this is being sponsored by Shimano. Now, Shimano's just at the store here giving everybody seminars on, you know, the Shimano products and what's going on and everything. How was the seminar?
It was pretty good. I mean, it was very informative. You know, he gave everybody a little flyer that he had printed up that showed the differences between each reel as far as this one has this type of ball bearings versus this one has this type of ball bearings to explain kind of the price differences between them. And which ones were cold forged gearing, which ones were not. You know, so it was interesting to see because you pick up some of the reels, they feel so similar. It's like, how do you really tell somebody that this reel is better than this reel? What justifies All right. the extra $100 difference with this reel versus that reel? And it was neat because it had
to. So what was, you know, you attended, I was working the counter. I was waiting on customers, so I didn't actually get to attend this. You know, somebody's got to work. And so what reel, after hearing all the explanations and everything from Shimano, what reel were you interested in?
To be honest with you, I was surprised to find out that that it's actually a steel body on that sustain for as lightweight as it is. It's a metal bodied reel. It's not a carbon infused body like the CI4, but it's such a lightweight frame. It's actually metal. It was
so they've reintroduced the sustain again.
Yeah,
and they're bringing it back with a metal body and stronger, tougher. I mean, some kind of crazy alloy. I'm assuming.
Yeah, I forget what it was called, but it was. I wouldn't have guessed it to be a metal body. I would have guessed it to be basically a fancy plastic body.
So we ordered them.
Yes, we ordered a couple. That's 3,000 and 4,000 size.
Okay, so your pick from Shimano would be the sustain.
Yeah, and that's weird because I usually don't pick the more expensive stuff because I'm not a big fan of thinking that more expensive is better. It impressed me that it was the mechanics of it, the way they had built it, I guess, impressed me enough. Cool. Versus, you know, last year's model, I would have stuck with the CI4 for the $100, $150 cheaper, you know.
Right, because the old sustain and the CI4 were pretty much the exact same reel, and they were just getting $100 more for the other one.
Yeah, it wasn't significant enough difference to me to justify it. So
they canceled the sustain, and now we're bringing it back newer, bigger, and better, and they actually impressed you.
Yeah, it surprised me.
Cool. All right, well, that's great.
I like getting surprised because, I mean, you've been doing this for a long time. I've been doing it for a long time. You know, so you kind of get numb and dull and whatever, same old, same old. So to actually understand a reason for somebody raising a price on something other than just because they can, you know, has always frustrated me. But this one actually kind of justified it a little bit. I was impressed by it.
What we've been talking about with Shimano here on the last couple ads we've been doing is that they're actually getting their act together. They're trying to give dollar value for the reels.
Right.
For a few years, I was at war and just went, you know, down and bad on Shimano because I felt like they were cheapening the product and raising the price.
Right.
And now they're going back to the old Toyo Shimano ethics of better value, better pricing, better reel. When you spend more money, you're actually getting a better reel.
Right.
And I'm very happy with that. I'm, you know, I know it's a backwards way of saying an ad, but we all mess up. I do the wrong thing, say the wrong thing, you know, way too much. And Shimano had the same problem for a while, and now, you know, they've actually made a big effort to do this. And so I'm very happy having Shimano back on board. Always like to see somebody succeeding. So Burnt Store Two Pines, what's going on?
Most of your better fishing is closer towards Two Pines. Lot of little snook, even some bigger snook being caught and seen right along all those different little mangrove keys, islands, whatever you want to call them. The redfish are starting to pick up a little bit better down there. The trout activity out in front of Two Pines has started to really pick up. There's not as many numbers, but it seems like the few guys that have been catching fish have been catching better quality, like slot size, and even a few, you know, some fish that are over the slot. About the only activity I've been hearing about north of Two Pines, closer towards Burnt Store, has been some pompano and bonnet heads out there on the bar itself. my one guy who wade fishes out there all the time actually got hurt at work and sprained his ankle pretty bad, so he hasn't been able to go out fishing out there for about the last 10 days, so he was pretty bummed. Yeah. He's usually good. He's usually really accurate with his report for that whole area for me, you know, telling me what, where, how, and all that good stuff, but he's out of commission for a little bit.
Gotcha. All right. East Side, which is sponsored by Akuma. And we are also doing Amazon price match on Akuma reels at this point. So, just in time for the holidays. Happy holidays. Okay. You know, Thanksgiving's around the corner. Happy Thanksgiving coming up. And when you're thinking about gifts and stuff, I will tell you, here's going to be one of those horrible ads. If you're getting a reel for somebody up north, go on Amazon and have them ship it for free.
Right.
I mean, seriously, folks, if you're buying a reel for somebody in this area and you're going to be handing it to them, get the reel from us. It's the same price, better warranties and all that. But if you're going to mail it up north, I'll forego the money and just tell you flat out why pay the shipping.
Right.
You know,
let them eat it.
That's what I do with when I'm, you know, doing stuff to the kids and grandkids is I go on the internet because it's free shipping. But around the area, for here, if you buy it from us, we're going to give you great warranties. We're going to help you every way we can to make sure it's a good experience. But I wish I could say that we could give you free shipping, but I don't know. I guess we could try. I haven't really thought about that. But I don't think we're going to be able to. I don't, you know, not with doing the Amazon price match and be able to put the shipping and everything into it.
Yeah.
My payroll costs are just too high.
Yeah.
It just, you know, too much money on payroll. Yeah. So, anyway.
One thing to break even, but to lose money, I think that would be a tough one.
Yeah, I can lose money. I've lost more money this year than I can even begin to imagine.
Right.
So, on the east side, Akuma's sponsoring it. They got some great products, and we're doing Amazon price match. They got a couple new ones I'm interested in looking at.
Yeah, there was a couple that seemed interesting. I'd just be curious to see what
the name of them.
They reintroduced the Apixer. That was one of them. They revamped it some way, but I can't remember. There was one other one that seemed intriguing, but yeah. I want to play with it to see it because he didn't actually have that one with him.
Yeah, when we get him in, we'll talk more about him. But
yeah,
they got some great possibilities. Right now, the Shadow Stalker and the Azor are real safe bets. The Cedros is a good reel, too, but the Azor and the Shadow Stalker rods, big sellers.
That Samar is pretty impressive, too, for a $50 reel.
Samar is what I was trying to say, yeah, Samar. Yeah. I don't know, I said Cedros, didn't I?
Yeah.
No, Cedros I'm not thrilled with.
No.
Okay. So anyway, sorry, boys. Sorry, Akuma. Not thrilled with it. But the Samar and the Azor, both good. And they got two reels, one revamp, one new. And we're waiting for them to come out. We'll let you know what we think of them. Okay. On the east side, a lot of trout over by the, if there's crab trap buoys.
Yeah.
Lots of trout on the flats anyway.
Yeah. Definitely a lot of trout, and they're assorted sizes. Some guys are doing well on some, you know, legal size fish. A lot of guys are catching some undersized fish, but it shows that it's building and getting better, you know, each day.
Yeah.
Redfish and snook are scattered around every one of the islands. I haven't heard of a lot of big fish or oversized fish in any way, but hearing of some pretty healthy numbers of both the reds and the snook all along there. And then there has been some bonnet heads starting to move up onto the flats from Pirate Harbor, working your way north a little bit. And then I'm hearing of an incidental pompano and an incidental cobia, but the cobia, so far I've only heard of one legal cobia, period. But the majority of the ones that are being seen over there are on the undersize. So it's definitely okay. On the upswing of things.
We'll take that. All right, Alligator Creek and Poacher's Cut Skating Rink. This is all sponsored by Ackline HR, and they do our payroll, our payroll HR, workman's comp, all the taxes, everything. I'm very happy with them. It's a company that I'm using, and I honestly don't know if they're more or less expensive than other people, but I can honestly tell you I'm way more satisfied. And I don't remember what I was paying the last outfit, but they sucked. And
yeah.
These guys are great. I mean, And I still remember talking to him. I'm stopped during the middle of Hurricane Irma, tropical storm thing in Georgia. I'm stopped on a hill where I had cell phone reception. She was in Virginia or somewhere. And
West Virginia.
And, you know, we did it over the phone. And, you know, not even the storm slowed it down. So, all right, Alligator Creek Poacher's Cut Skating Rink. What's going on?
Honestly, the only report I've heard has been at the skating rink area. There's been some flounder up there, some pompano, and then a lot of redfish and snook moving all over the place up there. Unfortunately, Poacher's Cut and Alligator Creek, I just have not had any reports at all inside there at all. Other than visibility's getting better in burnt store aisles, and people are starting to see a lot more snook and juvenile tarpon sitting on their lights, but I haven't heard of anyone fishing for them. So it's kind of weird how that always goes in little spurts.
Yeah.
But well, that skating rink is a beautiful area, and anyone who is like new to the area and kind of thinking about doing some wade fishing but are a little apprehensive, that skating rink area is probably one of the best beginner places to actually go wade fishing, because it's good firm bottom unless you get right up next to the mangroves and there's spots that are a little mucky, but the actual bottom there is firm, visibility's getting better, you know, and the variety of fish that you can catch. So it's just a great, it's a great spot to learn personally for wade fishing, to build your confidence up.
Now, what I would say about it is a little different. It's, I would go over there and anchor your boat up on the barrier bar, the barrier sandbar. You just nose your boat up into the sand where it gets real shallow, put your anchor out on it, because even if your boat is beached, if that tide comes up, the boat floats away. So
right,
make sure you, you know, nose your boat up to the sand, put your anchor out, and then walk that sandbar and kind of from the bar out into the flats and back up on the bar and try for some redfish or whatever might happen to be there. But it's a great place because it's beautiful bottom on there, the sand there, and it's easy to walk and great place to get started, and it's very skinny, very shallow. It takes us up to Ponce de Leon Park, and that's sponsored by Shenango Supply, and I've got to go there and pick up another pressure washer. Mine's just starting to leak, and I need something a little more powerful, and they got Hondas there right now. So I'm going to go there. I'm going to put a little more money into it than I did last time.
Yeah, but you got several years out of that last one, and it's been a, and it's worked for you. I mean, you've put almost as much work through that machine as someone who does it for a living.
Oh, yeah, easily. I have a massive amount of that stuff to do.
You've got a massive amount of hours on that pressure washer, so that's pretty impressive.
But I need something. I got to go up to about 4,000 pounds. Mine's a 3, but I've got this attachment to clean the driveway and stuff, and I got to go up. And then I'm using that 10-foot wand, and it's harder to get in and around with it. So,
gotcha.
You know, it's just getting time. I'm going to stave it off as long as I can, though, because, you know, the one I'm looking at's a couple, $200-$300 more than the last one I had, and I just don't want to spend the money right now. Cheap, but Shenango Supply. Take my lawnmower there to get it. I'll be taking it down there very, very quickly. They actually can come pick yours up, take it down there, service it, and bring it back to you. And it's not very expensive to have them do it. And that's what I'm going to be doing. Okay, Ponce de Leon Park. Anything going on there?
To be honest with you, the only thing I've heard about has been a couple guys wade fishing right off the beach. They've been getting a couple of snook, some trout, and even a couple of incidental redfish and one black drum just fishing out there throughout the whole day. Nobody's really talking much about right off the dock this past week, unfortunately.
Okay. It would have been simple if I could actually type the word the in, not H-T-E. For some reason, that's how I always type it. PGI Canals, Punta Gorda Canals. This is sponsored by Charlotte Harbor Construction, Custom Home Builders, and they build a good house. Safe, secure, nice, good workmanship. That's Charlotte Harbor Construction. Good folks. What's going on at PGI Canals?
A lot of tarpon moving around. People are seeing them just about everywhere. The snook are starting to really stack up on the lights. You know, every day is getting a little more clearer, so people are really this past week have started talking about their snook lights and finally being able to see them again with some activity on them. And then I'm still getting some reports of some jacks. Most of the jacks have been Colony Point or along the Rim Canal going in through Ponce there. Guys are catching them as they're just trolling in and out. A couple guys are still catching a handful of really big snook. Just jigging or blind casting up underneath the docks and boats that are in there with some pinfish or some of the bigger swim baits. Doing pretty well on those. So it's take advantage of the beautiful weather we got right now, but on those windy days, it's a nice little place to get out of the wind.
Oh, I used to make a lot of money there because captains, if people were down, they'd have to, you know, they could go fishing that day. That's it. They had one day, one shot to get fishing in, and it'd be blowing 20 plus miles an hour, and it's too dangerous to go out. But I could put my boat in at Ponce, and we'd go back in. We'd do a lot of trolling in the canals, fish some of the docks. And trolling that Rim Canal back there is actually real nice. Got the mangroves on one side, got trees on the other, you know. So it was actually a nice place to make extra money on those windy days.
Absolutely.
And I did a lot of it. We're moving on to Gilcrest Pier, and this is a reminder of our fishing club. This week, coming up, we are going to be there Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Tuesday and Wednesday booked up last week, so we added another night. Room only holds 50 people a night. This week, or this month, is fish we've caught, where, how, and what. And so that's pretty cool. You got maps all made up and the spots and then, you know, pictures of the places to show you what we've done. All right, so what's going on at Gilcrest Pier?
Honestly, the only one fish I heard about was a baby bull shark. Other than that, it's been quiet. You know, it was about a 3-footer or so, judging by the guy's picture, but nothing else.
All right, and that's going to take us out to the Alligator Creek Reef, the 1 mile reef, the concrete reef, sponsored by McGrady's Insurance Group. He's part of the Allstate people over there. He does a huge amount of my insurance. My cars, we have store insurance with him, and I mean, a lot of different stuff. Good friend, nice guy. What's Mick sponsoring at the Alligator Creek Reef? When you get done kicking the table over.
Right.
All of a sudden everything went...
Earthquake. Earthquake.
Your foot don't look that big, but
smacked it just right.
Yeah.
They've been getting a couple of Spanish mackerel on it. Not really targetable, but just kind of bycatch. Guy got into some nice silver trout off of it the other day. And I've heard of a few mangrove snapper. Other than that, it's still been a little quiet, but those are some of the better reports we've had in the last month or two, probably, I'm guessing. So it's getting better.
Okay.
Plus, it's been so windy, people couldn't really go out there and sit on it. It was right at that breaking point.
Yeah, it is. If it was just a little closer to shore, it'd be great on those east winds, but it's just where the waves really start to hit you. Okay, take us out to the deep holes in the harbor. This is sponsored by Seato. I am a member and had to use my membership for the first time. It's kind of like buying an insurance policy is exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Hoping you're never going to actually, you know, you literally hope that you're just throwing money away and giving it to them for no reason. But when the reason comes, really nice to have.
Absolutely.
So, anyway, what's going on in deep holes?
There has been a few, once again, incidental Spanish mackerel that a couple guys have been hooking into while trolling on their way out or back in. Some guys have hooked a couple of tarpon this week. They were smaller fish in that 60-pound range. And then that's about it. Yeah, I haven't heard much else. Sharks are all pretty much just about gone out there. There was a big school of mullet that went out there on this full moon.
Speaking of sharks, I had a guy come in today, and he wanted a charter. He said, I want to go shark fishing. I said, well, it's pretty cold for sharks. I don't really think you're going to be able to do very well on the sharks. I think you'd be kind of wasting the money. He says, you got anybody who can take me and my buddy out for $100 to go shark fishing? I says, I don't think so. And I just, you know, I said, everybody who we've known that does charters for like 200, 150, 100 to 200 bucks last a year to 2 years in business, and then something happens to the motor or the boat, and they don't have the money to replace
tackle.
It. Or their tackle. They just don't have the money to replace it.
Yeah.
Outboards, you know, that's a $15,000 investment that is only going to last a few years.
Yeah.
You've got to constantly... when people are starting a charter boat business, I tell them you need to put back at least 40% of the money you bring in needs to go in a bank account where you don't touch it.
Absolutely.
At least 40%. A minimum of 30% needs to be there. And that's not, you know, that's possible maintenance. But if out of that 40%, 20% needs to go to replacing the motor and 20% needs to go for repairs.
Yeah.
Just to keep you on the water, keep you working.
Just to survive, you know? Yeah.
So it's... It's things aren't as easy as they used to be. Used to be, if you went out, you made $100 for the day, you did good.
Yeah.
But not that way anymore.
No.
So, anyway, that's going to take us over to some bait reports. And I guess,
speaking of bait, that's what that guy, you know, average shark charter, the guy's going to spend $50 in bait, bare minimum.
Well, between the bait and the chum and all the rest of that stuff, there's a lot of money in fuel and bait and chum and insurance. And, I mean, yeah. It's... probably averages about $1,500 a year for the insurance alone, because you have to have liability insurance, because without liability, and you better have $1 million liability policy, because it's a boat, anything can happen.
Yeah.
And nowadays I see on the news so much that it's something happens to somebody and 20 attorneys call them wanting them to sue somebody.
Yeah.
Promising them all this money. They probably never even had the thought that they would actually sue somebody.
Right.
You know, I've had the thought many times, but I've never done it because I don't like it if it happens to me.
No.
So why would I do it to somebody else over something? Now, if it was blatantly, obviously they went out to hurt me.
Right.
Yes, but... accidents happen. Things happen. When I was a kid, you went to somebody's yard. If you broke your arm in their yard, your parents took you to the doctor and you got it fixed and you went back and played in his yard more. Now, if a kid goes into somebody's yard, breaks his arm, the parents sue the other parents and it's a big thing. And I don't get it. Personal responsibility. So anyway, bait reports. What's going on with bait reports?
Honestly, the white bait is pretty much about gone anywhere in the lower harbor. I've heard of some guys catching... some white bait, but they're out there literally.
By Placida is the only place I've heard of.
Yeah, and they're out there before it's light out, and as soon as it gets light, the bait pretty much disappears.
Any thread fins?
None.
All right, pinfish.
Pinfish are doing pretty good anywhere along the intercoastal, and then also typical devilfish and Jug Creek shoals. They are starting to catch a few more pinfish up by Pirate Harbor now. And they're getting to be a little bit better size rather than that typical silver dollar size. They're actually getting some 3 and 4 inches up there. So that's picking up. You know, it's just been, you know, that weather kind of changed things up a little bit. You know, but we always expect that this time of year.
All right. Any reports on ladyfish?
The ladyfish have been scattered up and down the east side mostly. And then there's still quite a few ladyfish inside bull and turtle. They're just not schooled up in really good concentrations. They're just a few here and a couple there. You know, it's not gangbusters on them, but ladyfish are still at least probably one of the easier ones to find in general.
Okay. Any other types of bait around at the moment?
Well... yeah, kind of. I mean, the mullet are schooling up, doing their first spawn of the season. So guys are seeing some pretty good numbers of schools of mullet cruising along the bars, out in the center of the harbor, and even out on the beach. So depending on where you're fishing at, like going out on the beach right now, mullet probably wouldn't hurt to use for trolling or drifting out there for those king mackerel, maybe even the incidental shark, and definitely some tarpon, because they're going to be really focused on feeding on those as those schools come along.
Gotcha. All right. Now, anything besides we got white bait, pinfish, no thread fins around, ladyfish, mullet, anything else?
That's about it.
All right, freshwater reports. Crappie fishing is still getting better with the cooler weather.
Yep, and that's in any of the Port Charlotte, Northport, and even Rotunda ponds and canals. Starting to get some pretty good mixed reports on all those. Still quite a few of the tilapia. The tilapia this past week, still guys talking about catching those fairly regularly on the beetle spins and small wigglers while they're trying to find bluegill and crappie. So that's always pretty cool when you start catching tilapia on a regular basis with artificials. And then the bass fishing has really perked up pretty significantly too with this little drop in the weather. Guys are fishing some of the bigger lakes like Istapoga, Manatee, places like that, and picking up some bass in the 3 to 5 pound range, and even the Northport canals and Port Charlotte canals. And most of those guys are catching them on shiners. Shiner sales this past week picked up a little bit more. And then the, what is it, that creature bait.
Yeah.
Guys are slowing down their presentation just a little bit more.
Spell tilapia.
T-I-L-I-P-H-A. No H.
T-I-L-I-P-A?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
Alright,
take it. It didn't give me a red line, so.
Yeah.
Alright, tarpon reports.
Tarpon reports. Definitely Boca Grande Pass and Captiva Pass. That seems to be the better concentrations of them. And those are bigger fish. Those are in like that 80 to 150 pound range. Starting to get been getting a couple mixed reports in the holes, but not a lot. Those have been kind of accidental. Guys are looking for them and just coming across one or two. And then I'm starting to hear the fish up there on the upper Peace River where they're seeing fish rolling and also hooking a couple. And those are assorted sizes from the 10 pound to 60 pound range. So they're scattered a little bit, but definitely around. And of course the juveniles that are all over in PGI and in the Spring Lakes. You know, it's that time of year where those bigger fish are getting ready to migrate, you know, to Central and South America, or the resident fish that are out there intermingled with them are getting ready to boogie back up into the rivers to go and do their over winter disappearing act. So, you know, as long as it stays warm, we could have these fish here all the way through, especially out in the passes, all the way through until, heck, the beginning of the year.
Oh, yeah. Last year, we had them all the way through December.
Yeah. We had them here until, I think, the first or the second when we had that next major cold front that kicked them right out and shut them down.
All right. Well, that brings us to the end of anything we got to write down. Anything that you want to add to anything else we should go over?
No, I mean, I would say the main thing is this time of year is be prepared to do just about anything. Don't go out there with just one fish in mind, because you could go out there with your trout pole, but you should bring a tarpon rod with you because the trout may not work, or you may come across a whole school of tarpon.
Actually, you might be reeling in a trout and catch a tarpon.
Right, exactly. You know, you should take a mixed gamut with you, because as long as this weather stays nice the way it is and the water temperatures stay in that low to mid 70s, it's like that perfect temperature for all these different species to be moving around and showing up, disappear for a day or two and come back.
And I just got the red tide reports. There's no showings of red tide on the west coast here right now.
Nice.
And so if this can stay this way, and I think it has something to do with that water dump after the storm, because with this much rain and this much water flowing, we should be covered with red tide right now.
Yeah, well, you would think.
And I keep noticing the brown but clear water, where I think it has taken a lot of the sediment out, a lot of the nutrients out. That flushing, that dumping of the toilet, I mean, with all of the massive floodwaters out of the rivers and the creeks and everywhere else, and then 6 feet of water out of the harbor all at the same moment, just cleaned it out. There might not be anything for the red tide to live on.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's always a possibility. So, anyway, guys, can't think of anything else I want to add to this. How about you, Robert?
Nope. I think we did a pretty good job.
All right. Well, I believe that's going to end this fishing report for 11-4, 2017, and it's gosh, this year's almost gone.
You think? Holy mackerel, talk about flying by.
Yeah, I mean, I was planning on doing stuff this year. I had all this stuff laid out, and just all of a sudden it went from it's June, now we're November.
Right.
Blink my eyes and it's gone. So, yeah, I'd have to say 2017, a day took a week to go by, a week took a month took a week, and a year took a month.
Yeah.
You know? So figure that out if you can. You have to go back on that a couple times, but you'll get it in the end. Anyway, Fishing Frank and the Area Fishing Report. Thanks for listening, guys. Catch you on the next Radio Fishing. Bye.